To open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, if you would please, tonight. Colossians 2. We're going to look at a few things in verses 4 through 9, but we need to read the first three verses to understand the statement that's made in verse 4. And I also want to start by reading verse 8. Because verse 8 is kind of the center of the passage. He says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We understand the word beware. We've all seen this sign on the gate, beware of dog. It means there's danger. The word spoil is probably a word that we need to make sure we understand here. He's not talking about spoil as in food. He's talking about spoil as in war, where someone would, in a battle, win the victory, and then as a result of winning the victory, they could take whatever they wanted from the enemy. And so if, for example, the soldiers defeat the enemy, and then they can go and they can plunder the houses or whatever and take whatever it is that they would like from those folks because they're the victors. And Paul warns the Colossians, and he warns us, that there is the possibility that we could be conquered and that we could be taken or our some of our possessions, if you will, not material possessions, I don't think so much, I'm certainly not, but spiritual possessions could be taken as spoil. So with that thought, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. I want to read chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. We won't be long, but we want to look at, be careful not to be spoiled here in verse 8. But let's begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and all and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Now watch verse 3. "In whom," that's in Christ, "are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, tonight our desire is that the Holy Spirit would work in our midst with power. We know you promised that the Word of God does not ever return void. Hebrews 4:12 teaches us that it's quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. Lord, I pray tonight that we would simply see what the Bible has to say, and that you'd give me wisdom and clarity of thought to help folks to zero in on and to understand just what this passage is teaching us, and that they would be cautious about who they allow to teach them, cautious about what they listen to when it comes to religious programming, what they read, who they believe. Because, Lord, today we know that there are many deceivers that have entered into the world, and there are many false teachers, and there are many people today, so many people, that have been spoiled. And they're saved, but they simply don't have much of anything left except their salvation. And Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight to realize that we have precious things that we need to protect and not allow to be taken away from us. I pray you'd bless our time, help us to use it wisely, And we pray that you would be with those that are away from us tonight. Bring them back safely. Give us a good spirit to just each of us to pause for a moment and listen to the Word of God. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, look at a couple of things here. Look at verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. He says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." Now, I'm going to ask this question. You're going to be tempted to answer out loud, but don't do that. Just think. Enrique loves to answer my questions. Amen, brother? And I'm glad when you do. But just think with me for a minute. And how did we receive the Lord? How did you receive the Lord? I'm not talking about the circumstances. I'm talking about in a more general sense. How did you receive the Lord? It's all the same way. Amen? This is Brother Leader received the Lord the same way Enrique received the Lord, the same way Brother Hickson received the Lord, the same way Brother Dahlman, the same way I did, the same way Marguerite did. By faith. Amen? Amen? And when we received the Lord, let's just paint a perfect picture here for a minute. And if you want some more details for this, you need to come to Mr. Hickson's Sunday school class. And oh, by the way, and I mentioned this on Sunday, but I'll mention it again tonight. We have a missionary that will be with us on Sunday morning in Sunday school and the morning worship hour. He's going to Italy. And I talked to him on the phone yesterday or the day before. And we're looking forward to having him. And he sounds like a really fine man. And he's going to be teaching us some things. So we won't have Sunday school in here for Acts on Sunday morning. But back to where I started, if you think about this perfect situation, let's just say Paul goes out and Paul leads some folks to the Lord and they start a church. Now, you might think that living in the first century would have been a great way to live. And in some respects, it would have. There weren't many, if really none of the cults that we know existed back then. There was no Catholic Church back then. There were deceivers, but not like there are today. We were knocking doors yesterday, and one fella did not want to have anything to do with us. And I suspect somewhere along the way, the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witnesses, or somebody went and annoyed him, and now he didn't want to hear it anymore. The devil's got people kind of nervous about somebody that would come to their door and talk to him about Jesus. It's sad, but that's the way things are. But this fellow that we went and tried to talk to, we just want to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ and have him get saved. Amen? When in Paul's day, when folks got saved in that first century, they faced a persecution we don't face. We have very little persecution today like they had, but they didn't have a lot of the false teaching that we have today. It has gotten so bad that there are people, and you ask them if they're saved, and they'll say, "Yeah, I'm saved," and you don't see much of any evidence of it. Back to where I started. So here, Paul leads some folks to the Lord. And what did they have? They had the Lord Jesus Christ. They had parts of the Bible. They had the Word of God. We'll just stick it with that for now. They had the Word of God. And I'm convinced because they sang hymns even in the upper room before the Lord was crucified at the Last Supper. The last thing they did was sing a hymn. But they had good godly music. They had the Psalms and they sang the Psalms and so on. And they didn't have all the mess that we've got today. So that today, there are people that have been spoiled. And what I mean by that is they've lost almost everything that really comes with salvation. You see, when the Lord saved you, what did he save you from? Sin? Hell? Amen? He saved you from the penalty of sin. He saved you. In fact, let's read the verse here just to make sure we got this straight. In verse 8, look at the list here. He says, philosophy. We have been saved from philosophy. We don't need man's philosophy. We have the Bible. Amen? You know, we have been saved from, he says, vain deceit. And I'm very sure that one of the aspects of that is this idea, it's all about me instead of all about Christ. Because that's what you see today. I met with some folks in their home not too long ago, and they profess to be Christians. And there is no evidence. There is wrong Bible, no standards, bad music, no soul winning. Folks, what do they have left? Now, be careful, because this message, as you think about it, let me ask you this. What do you and I have left? Amen? Do you still have a heart and an understanding and a desire to see souls saved? Or have you lost that somewhere? Have you been spoiled? Do you still have standards, or have you been spoiled? Do you still have a good Bible, or have you been spoiled? I know people that have been spoiled. Somebody came along and said, I'm educated, let me show you a better way, and took away their good Bible and gave them a bad one. Happens all the time. Some music director came into their church, and that music director said, let me show you a better way. And he took away their good godly music and replaced it with the world's music. Somebody came in and said, let me show you a better way, and started talking to them about how good they are and what they deserve and what they could have and how it's all about how rich they can get or how prosperous they can be or how they can have what they want in life, and stop making Jesus the center, the focus, and they lost those things. There are people, there are Christians that have been spoiled. You see what I'm saying? Look at what else he says here in verse 8. He says, philosophy, vain deceit. And then he says, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world. And isn't it so sad today that many, many Christians are just caught up in the world? If I had what the world has to offer, they say, then I would be happy. And folks, when they step into eternity, two things are going to happen. Number one, whatever the rudiments of the world they have are going to stay behind. And number two, they're going to step into eternity with nothing to show for their life. And that's eternity we're talking about. Amen? Now, let's go back to where we started from. Think of the things that we've got. Now, I just want to read this verse again so you make sure you got this straight. He says in verse 6, as ye have received Christ, so walk in him. An old saying that we've heard. If you can trust Christ to save you, can't you trust Christ to lead you in your life? If Christ is sufficient to save you, isn't he sufficient to guide your life? I talked about this, I don't know, I guess it was last fall probably. Every now and then I come across Christians and they have nothing left. They've given up on their hope in Christ. They've given up on trusting God or praying or serving him, or they're waiting to die. They've been spoiled. Okay, let me just show you a couple of things here. We won't take long. Look at verse 4. First of all, he says this. He says, this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Let's look at the problem here. This is a spiritual battle, but it is men that are doing the spoiling. It is men that are doing the deceiving. The word beguile is a word that means to deceive or to cause one to reckon incorrectly. In fact, it means to cheat somebody. We've all heard of the shell game that they play in New York, where you got the three shells and they put the little object underneath one of them and they move them around and ask you to pick which one it is. And sure as the world, if there's any money involved, you're going to lose, because that guy knows what he's doing. And why would anybody play a silly game like that and stake money on a situation that they're always going to lose? To be beguiled, to be deceived, to cause somebody to reckon incorrectly. There are people, and they're fearful people. They will stand up. And they will tell you that they represent Jesus, and they'll tell you they represent the gospel, and they'll tell you that they've got a better way, and they'll have a stadium full of people, and they'll have a big event, and they'll get on their Learjet and go somewhere else and do the same thing somewhere else. And folks, they're taking people away from the things that God gave them in their salvation. Good things like the local church. Good things like faith in Christ. Good things like a life centered in Christ instead of centered in self, or instead of centered in something else, entertainment or whatever it might be. It's men that are the problem. And then in verse 3, he says this. He says, though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness, and you'll see this again and again, of your faith in Christ. And as he says in verse 6, you received him in, by faith, walk in him by faith, the steadfastness of their faith. Folks, the devil hates your faith, doesn't he? And so the devil's going to do what he can to tear that faith down. He's going to try and make you doubt that. He's going to put you in a situation where it looks like God can't possibly keep his word. He's going to put you in a situation where it looks like God didn't tell it the way it is. In fact, I'll go all the way back to the very first time we ever met the devil in Genesis chapter 3. And what did he say? He says, yea, hath God said. And then shortly after, he said, ye shall not surely die. If Eve had believed what God had said, and Adam was the one that had to tell her that, by the way, because she wasn't there when God gave Adam the command. But if Eve had believed, she wouldn't have listened to the devil. If you and I believed, we wouldn't listen to the devil. It's faith that the devil's after. He wants to take away our faith. And folks, if he can spoil you of your faith, what do you got left? Now, you're not going to lose your salvation. But I'm telling you, I've seen too many Christians that they have stopped trusting in the Lord, stopped looking to him for the answers, stopped serving him, stopped putting him first, and they're looking somewhere else, convinced that they're going to find it there instead of finding it in Christ. And that's why verse 3 is so important, because in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Folks, if it's not in Christ, it's nowhere. And to be spoiled, to take your eyes off of Christ, to take your faith away, that's what the devil's going to try to do. I like to keep the things that are mine. Amen? You know, how many of you lock your house when you leave the house? When I was a kid, we used to live in Carlsbad, New Mexico, and this was in the 1960s, and we would go out to the store, and we wouldn't even lock the door. And there was no problem with thieves coming into the house in that day. The problem we had was the children in the neighborhood that were my friends would knock on the door, and then they'd try the door to see if I was there. And if the door was open, they'd come in and eat all of my cookies and stuff in the cabinets. We'd come home, and there'd be cookies all over the counter. And, you know, I didn't like that, so lock the door. Well, I'm telling you, spiritually, let's lock the door, amen? You have to be really careful not to get in the flesh, but I'll just do that just a tad, just for a minute. And let me say this. It is really grievous to me when people go out and lie to Christians and deceive them and tell them things that aren't true and take them out of a good church, away from a good Bible, away from their faith, away from the things that matter to something else. Beware. He says, let's finish up. He says in verse 6, as ye therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have, there's that word faith again, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If we would have enough time, we would really sit there and look at verse 7 and soak that in, to be built up in him, to be rooted in him, to not be able to be moved away, to not be able to lose that faith, abounding therein with thanksgiving. In verse, I'll skip over 8, we've read it a couple of times already, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we'll kind of launch out there next week. But hang on to what you got, amen? Don't let the Lord, don't let the devil spoil you of the things that God gave you when he saved you. And sadly today, so many people that are misleading folks and taking them away from what they have. Let's bow for a word of prayer.